Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica Coulthard, your host. And each week I chat with amazing entrepreneurs to share what they've done to ignite their business so that you can ignite yours. Hey, it's Jessica, your host. What if I could tell you why you do everything you do? Would you believe me? Well, I think you should, because I have this incredible assessment that I do for my clients. And for all of my listeners, I'm offering it for free. If you want to send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com, I will hook you up. I will tell you why you do everything you do. I will tell you what your personal driving force, your North Star, the reason you do everything you do, why you make every decision you make. You're going to look back over your life and you'll be able to connect all sorts of dots that you didn't see before. It will blow your mind, I promise. I've been doing this assessment with my clients for the last 4 years. Wow, you nailed me. And the beautiful part is that it's not just about knowing this. It's about I actually will show you how to use it. I will show you how to use it to fix relationships. I'm also going to show you how to get rid of bad habits. We're going to dial this in so easily that this will be a no-brainer. You're going to be like, wow, why didn't I know this before? Why don't they teach this in schools? I'm going to show you how to change any area of your life by stepping back, taking the emotion out, throwing in a little logic, and you're going to be able to brainstorm ideas that you never even saw before. That is the power of this assessment. So send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com and I'll hook you up. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me Paul Harvey, a former digital marketer turned podcast host of Life, Passion, and Business podcast. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here today. So nice to be on the other side of the microphone.
Right? I know. It's fun, isn't it?
Well, I had you on my show and it was lovely to come back and do yours. So yes, it is. And it's been a bit of a journey since we spoke. So it's really nice to have that conversation, come and have this conversation here.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear because we were chatting a little bit prior to this and it sounds like you've had an aha moment and I love to talk about those. But first, before we get into that, can you please tell everybody who you are, what you do, and I'd love to hear the journey that got you to this moment.
Okay, then. So my name is Paul Harvey, and I am the other Paul Harvey, not the dead one. Paul Harvey News is obviously the one anyone Googles anything, yeah, they get Paul Harvey News. So I can't have my name on as a URL. But I am 58 years old. I am a digital marketer, former digital marketer, I say. I've always been in marketing and business for a long time, actually. Because I started in marketing before the internet, when there was just a telephone and a directory and a telex machine, I seem to remember. And fax came later. So that gives you some indication of how long ago I've been involved in this stuff.
Some of the young people listening are going to be like, what? Telephone, fax? What is that?
Yeah, precisely.
There was no internet? When was there no internet? What?
So it's interesting. I had my journey in business. And, you know, I embraced digital marketing way back in like 2004, 2005, when I left my corporate job in London and I moved myself and my family 600 miles away to Scotland because I wanted something different. I was very aware that I was just caught in this ever-going circle of up at seven, out to work and back and food and bed and then, you know, and it literally just had this eat, sleep, kind of, you know, repeat kind of thing going on. So we recognized we needed something different. So we moved up to Scotland, where we're in more of a community environment up here. And we're a long way from, we are a long way from civilization and we're not, you know what I mean? It's very rural. So moving here, I embraced digital marketing and marketing generally. And it was quite interesting because I came to Scotland. It's a very quiet area. And I go and talk to businesses about marketing. They go, marketing? Oh, yeah. And I'd go, yeah, it's about, you know, making money. And they go, that sounds very London. So the Scots didn't really take to marketing too well in the early days, but we got there and we built a sort of a little bit of a following and a bit digital agency stuff. But I started to fall out of love with it. I started to realize that marketing, particularly some of the stuff I was getting involved in, particularly some of the fast moving stuff, is so much about just sell more, consume. My environmental kind of stuff that was starting to really build in me. I really think we're doing some damage to this world, and we have to start looking after it a bit better. And I just don't fit together anymore. So that's why I fell out in love with it. So I started to basically restrict who I was working with. I started making sure I was only working with people who were doing the right thing in the world rather than general consumption. And that worked for a while. And then in 2017, my father died. Now, he's an old man and he needed to go. And I was very, you know, he wanted to go. He was ill, not ill, but wearing out. But he'd also not been happy with his entire life, pretty much. Certainly a lot, the last 20 years were tough for him because my mum died before and he never really recovered from that. But what I recognise in my dad is that he never really embraced life. He was a child of the war. He never embraced life. He literally got through it. And I recognise some of the cynicism in him. And I recognise the same patterns in myself. And then when I sat down and thought about this, I suddenly realised that I had got very cynical because of the marketing stuff and because of the environmental stuff. And I just didn't know where to go next. And I, you know, and it was that crushing moment when I realized, you know, I was serving my customers well, I was serving clients, I was serving my family, I was keeping the lights on, you know, but I got to realize that actually I didn't care whether I lived or died. You know, I was that kind of like, what's the bloody point? So that's how the podcast was born. I recognized that I had to try and find some more inspiration or something in life that meant something, some reason for doing it all. And so I have been involved in public speaking. I did Toastmasters, all sorts of bits and pieces like around like that, and lots of presentations and stuff in my early life. I did a bit of acting training, singing, all sorts of stuff. So when I had the idea of how do I get to talk to people, it was obvious a podcast was the answer. It just seemed, yeah, do this. So I started reaching out to people and having conversations. And that was, I started doing that in 2017 and I actually went live in 2018 with the podcast. And since then I've done over 100 interviews. I think there are probably about 180 podcasts on the system, I think. So we've had a lot of conversations.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun, yeah. But what is also amazing is that I think what's so beautiful about this process is that people want to talk about themselves. So you can go and literally talk to anybody and say, have a come have a chat with me. And most people will say yes.
I haven't had very many people say no to me when I've asked. Because I agree with you. People love the opportunity to share their passion and what lights them up.
Well, we've all got a bit of narcissism involved, haven't we, really, somewhere. We all want to talk about ourselves, don't we, really?
Yes.
So anyway, I started this podcast out of 5 questions. Well, it was 3 to start with. Is what are you passionate about? What is your success model? And what's the meaning of life? That's where it started. And then it evolved a bit. And then there were other questions came in. Sorry, I heard you breathe. You wanted to say something.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, just those 3 questions alone must really bring out some amazing conversation.
Well, it does. Yeah. When you ask them what they're passionate about, it makes them think. But the bigger one is when you ask someone what is their success model, that actually makes them think even more. Because see, that's the problem with many people, myself included on some level. We have this model of success that is often not ours. It's given to us. So society gives us a model of success. You're supposed to be this. You know, how many women turn around at the age of 40 go, I'm supposed to have children by now.
Yeah.
You know, because society said they should, you know, that. And how many people are like in, you know, not in relationship at a certain time, or their business is not a certain size? It's all outside of us, not inside of us.
So can we turn the tables on you? Can you answer that question for me?
Success for me is about living each day from a place of calm and from a place of inspiration and sharing that with other people. But it evolves for me all the time. I mean, success is just the days unfold for me now. I'm going to make it. And that's what the life I've created. I've created a life where things unfold and I follow the flow. So that's the other thing about it. Success for me is about following the flow of it. And also that's for me. But my bigger purpose, I mean, my purpose in life is about moving people forward. It's always about helping other people find their own purpose, find their pattern, find what they need and move them forward. And I'll do that in the supermarket queue. I'll talk to them in the supermarket queue.
That's awesome.
I mean, someone said to me the other week, I was in the post office the other week, and some woman said to me, and I said, how's your day going? And she goes, oh, you know, living the dream. And I looked at her, oh, good. That's fantastic. Are you really? And she looked at me like I just dropped one or something and like said, you know, no, not really. I said, well, you could do something about that.
Yeah, now you became the person she no longer wants to talk to, because now she's like having to look in the mirror at herself as she's sitting there at work miserable.
Well, very possibly. I mean, I don't always do it that confrontationally. I do it a lot more subtly sometimes. But, you know, there is always an option, isn't there, in that respect? And that's the problem. Too many people spend their life sitting around waiting, you know, watching Netflix and hoping life will get better.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like what you said about like she came back with this living the dream, like it was, you know, a negative, right? Like she said it tongue in cheek, like just kind of like my life sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because back to what you were saying about how there's this expectation, this societal expectation of success. I think there's also this societal expectation that life is supposed to suck and be hard and we're supposed to just deal with it.
It doesn't have to be though.
I know that. You and I know that.
That's the point. Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah. All right. Yes, there are shit bits. You know, my journey from 2017 to probably the middle of 2019 or something was not great. Yeah, there was some bits that I were not comfortable about. So yeah, I mean, nothing, you know, the usual stuff, paying bills, that sort of stuff, the usual bits and pieces that, you know, we end up going like those sort of things, or the usual crisis, you know, the bits on the car drop off that you don't want to drop off, that sort of stuff. But you know, they're not life ending, are they? They're just momentary crises, really, or momentary irritations on the journey.
Just a little bump.
Yeah, I mean, all right. There are serious crap does happen. People get hurt. People die. All sorts of things happen, and that is serious. I agree. And you just have to see that there's a path through it, and know that you will always be right. It will always work for you ultimately.
Yeah. So are you one of those people that has really tuned in to listening to your instinct and your gut and tapping into that intuition when you're making those choices of what to do and what to follow?
Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could say, yeah, I'm fantastic at that. Yes, I do. I do. It depends on how loud the voice is. Yeah, it depends. I think that I am a lot of the time. Gosh, I'm struggling on that one, aren't I?
Ooh, I got you. The podcast. Yeah,
you did a bit. You did a bit. I do most of the time. I mean, and I haven't had it. I haven't been tested recently. I think that's probably the answer. I haven't been tested heavily recently. But most of the time I make a good decision. And I am in flow, because it's like, I mean, the numbers, the things that happen to me are coincidences, are just surreal. You know, I make a decision to go somewhere and do something, and I meet someone I haven't seen for ages. And I do that so often. And it's like, oh, I need to go there. And I didn't know I needed to go there. I just make a decision to do it, and it happens again and again and again. So I now know that if I get that intuition to do something, I must do it, because there's a reason for it.
Yeah. See, that's what I was talking about, is like starting to recognize those little nudges that we get, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But look, let's just quickly go through the five questions that I use now, because I think there's a value in this for your listeners. So there are five questions. The first one, what are you passionate about? So when you understand what it is that lights your fire, what it is you're passionate about, and where your values sit with that, when you have those things dialed in, life will work for you. It's when you're running against that, or having pushed against that, then life won't work for you. So that's why people end up working in a job which they love, and they have a fantastic job, and then suddenly something changes. So the management change, or the direct line manager, or something changes in the job. And what happens is suddenly it's now out of alignment with your values or your passion or something. And you try to hold it, try to keep it going. But if it's out of alignment with you, you're never going to be happy with it. It's always going to grate. And it's always going to make you feel uncomfortable. So it's about really identifying and knowing when you're in that place that just feels wrong. And it's time to move on. It's time to do something else. And the number of people on the podcast that live in that, have that experience. And what tends to happen is they ignore it. And then suddenly the universe goes, no, you're not going to ignore this any longer. because it delivers something to you, which is a real, and that's either something physical happens to someone or external circumstances force a change, so redundancy or those sort of things.
Yeah, a friend of mine, we refer to that as the feather, the brick, and the semi.
Yeah,
usually you get, right? You get the first message and it just feels like a little tickle. It's a feather. It doesn't hurt too bad. But if you ignore it, guess what? Yeah. Next is coming the brick. You're going to hear it a little harder. And if you continue to ignore that, yeah, you're getting the freaking semi. So, right? You got to listen sooner.
I've got a podcast guest coming up. I haven't spoken to him yet, but he sold me on this. He said, I got this warning when I was 49. And I said, what's that? He said, three heart attacks and two stents. I said, that was a warning. He goes, yeah, I had to listen at that point.
Right. Oh, man.
And you can laugh
about it now.
That's
a semi for sure.
You can laugh about it now. Yeah. It's like three heart attacks and two stents in 1 year. My God, that's tough, you know. But yeah, that's exactly it. What happens is you get the warnings. And, you know, and it's our duty to find that passion and to find that thing that lights us up, because that's what we're here for. We're here to be lit up and to be excited and to do stuff.
Yep, 100%. That's why I do my podcast too, right? Mm. It does. It gives me opportunities to have these kind of conversations because this brings me joy.
Yes.
And this is my idea of a good time. I'll do this all day long.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. So the next question is success. And we've already touched on the success model. So what does it mean to be successful for you? If you are doing anything in life, how are you going to measure the success of that? So it's like, you know, what's success for me in the podcast? Success for me was, for a while, it was listener numbers, but now it's not. Now it's like, I get an email from someone that says to me, I really enjoyed that podcast, but that guy's amazing. I go, that's a win. That's success for me. Just one person saying to me, it's a good show.
Yeah. It's enjoying the process too, right? Like, that's what I find is I've become way less outcome oriented and more about enjoying the moments.
Yes.
While I'm in them. Yeah.
Yes. But that's your success model. And some people will be different. But I think we all have our own thing about what success looks like. And it does change throughout life. So when you're young and you're just starting out in your career, yes, of course, success will be about acquisition. Of course, it will be about earning money and about getting yourself secure in your body and in your life and in your career. Of course, it will be. But there's a point when that has to shift, because if your life becomes totally about earning money, then it becomes, well, some people it works and some people they find it hollow. The number of people that find themselves, you know, getting to a certain stage in life, they've got everything they need in terms of financial reward, but they've not actually done anything with their life other than that. And it's like, hang on a minute, this doesn't look so successful now. So,
yeah, there's that what's missing key that starts to come up at that point, right?
Yes. So it's good to actually keep tabs on what your success metric is. Anything you do, what would be success in this for me? Am I meeting my internal pictures? Because that is the basic problem. That's what success really is. It's about whether your internal model and reality meet each other. When there's a mismatch between what you want on the inside and what you're getting on the outside, then that's when you start finding problems.
Yeah, Tony Robbins talks about that a lot. He says, when your reality does not match your view of the world, that's when we suffer.
Yes, absolutely. It's so true. And it's so bloody obvious, really. But but we all miss it. So the next question moving us on is contribution. And I look at, and that's a relatively new question into the podcast. It's only been in about 18 months or so. That I say relatively new, but it wasn't in the beginning. And it became obvious that contribution was a useful metric or conversation. So contribution is in two ways. It's like, what am I contributing to the world, to people external of me? But what am I contributing to myself? What is my own contribution to me?
Ooh, I like that side of it, because I think a lot of people who have a high need to contribute tend to miss that they also need to contribute to themselves.
Yeah, that's one of the things I did. So one of the things that I was doing when I was in 2017, 2018, when I was starting this podcast, and I said I didn't care if I lived or died. One of the aspects of that was that I actually did nothing for myself. Well, yeah, as I said, I'd served everybody else. I put food on the table. I do all the cooking in the house because I love cooking. So I did all that sort of stuff, but I did nothing for me. So I didn't buy clothes for me or anything for me unless I really desperately needed it. I did nothing for me personally. I had no value to for myself. I wasn't contributing to myself.
So what changed for you? How do you now contribute to yourself knowing that?
Well, I do things for me. So that's when I took up, I was already involved in some level of exercise at that point. And I realized, getting out of my funk took a bit more than just doing a podcast. I mean, it was once I started the podcast, I started realizing listening to what people were saying and what other people were using and some of the tools that people were using. And so I discovered things like journaling and meditation and exercise and yoga and mindset and, mindfulness. And I tried loads of things. So I guess once I started doing that, then I realized that I had to contribute to myself and I had to allocate time for myself. So I have a daily routine and my day starts with me journaling and then it leads on to yoga and or running or something. But it's always about me. My life is for me, not for everyone. Everyone else comes second.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that, me included. Like I'm probably still kind of in that place where I'm still trying to figure that out myself. So, you know, it's nice to hear from another, you know, podcast host, but somebody else who understands that, because I get it. Like I'm in the middle of it right now and it's a tough one to see.
Well, I mean, the fitness thing came earlier because I looked at my father's knees when he wasn't, you know, until like when I was 50, in my early 50s, and he was struggling with his knees at that point. And I thought, if I don't do something about my exercise regime, I'm going to start heading in that direction as well. So I started exercising and working out. And so going to the gym was a great, that was a start of me, I guess, even before my father, you know, the podcast, starting to recognize I need to do something. But I really took it seriously after 2017. I really started to actively go to the gym a lot. And I started going with my son, actually, which was just amazing, going with my 16-year-old at the time. It was just wonderful to actually go to the gym together and build a relationship and a bond there in the gym together. So that's been a wonderful experience. And then I started running. And I mean, the joke of it is, you know, I was having pain running on the running machine because knees is what I said. So I couldn't work out why it was so painful running. And eventually I got to a physiotherapist and she said, you don't walk properly. I've walked for a while, you know, and she said, yeah, but you still don't walk properly.
I thought I'd nailed that one.
Yeah. Apparently I didn't walk properly. So I had to learn to walk again. I had to learn to place my feet properly because I was pronating as I was planting my foot, I was caving my ankle, my rolling my foot in slightly. And that was putting pressure on my knee. I had to learn to place my foot flat so that I could actually then retrain my brain to place my feet properly when I was running.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you can, like I would have thought automatically, oh, here, just put a pair of insoles in, it will straighten you out.
No, it doesn't. And then I started to understand what you look at when you watch people running and you see some people like a pair of, like they run like a pair of spuds on, you know, a sack of potatoes on legs. You know, they're literally throwing their body from one side to the other. You say, no wonder, you know, it's like you suddenly start, when you start realizing the mechanics of this stuff, it is fascinating. But anyway, yeah, I won't get into the running channel because we'll get into that. I mean, it's just hilarious. So yeah, that contribution, getting back to on the topic, because I'm going on a rabbit. I'm very good at going down rabbit holes, you know, very good at doing that.
It's okay. I like it.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, contribution. Yeah, that's about how do you contribute to yourself is really valuable. How do you look after yourself? And then, because when you are looking after yourself, when you are well served and your self-care is good, then you have resources for other people. You know, they don't say put your own oxygen mask on first on the airline for no reason, do they? And it's easy to forget to do that.
Yeah, I can agree. I definitely, I'm feeling it. Like as you're talking about it, it's like I'm having a moment where I'm feeling your message.
Okay. Oh, that's good then. Yeah, okay. I'm also conscious that I know I'm talking, but I guess it's really weird being a host and a guest because I keep giving you space to speak and I don't need to.
No, you're the show today, my friend.
Fair enough. I'll try and work that one in.
No, but it's really interesting, right? Is when you're used to used to playing, let's call it a role. And then now all of a sudden it's shifting. And I like actually that there's this little bit of uncomfortableness and awkwardness, and you know, just sort of like, oh right, I'm supposed to, it's about me today, cool.
It's just about providing you space so you can have your say too. But yeah, so that's the, I think contribution is vital. And the next question, which is relatively new, and it was originally, that question was originally delivered so that people had an option to say what they liked. And it was an open question. It's like, what do you like people to ask you? Or what's the one question I haven't asked you? And it evolved into, what is the one question you want people to ask? And what is wonderful about that question is because it's, what's the one question you want to ask yourself or you want people to ask you? And guests can take it in either direction. For my listeners, I would say, what's the one question you want to ask yourself?
Yeah, that's a good journal prompt right there.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the answers are varied. I mean, and my answer changes. You know, what's the one question I want people to ask at the moment is, how can I live an inspired life, maybe? Or how can I live life with meaning, passion and purpose? That's the question I like people to ask me, I guess, at the moment, because that's my subject. That's what I'm talking about. So if someone's going to give me an in to have that conversation, I'm very happy.
Yeah. So how often do you find that people like go really deep, or do they tend to go surface level on those questions when you ask that?
I think it's a question that stuns people a bit, actually, that one. They know it's coming, yeah, and yet they don't seem to actually respond to it. It is fascinating. And yet there are some people that do, some people that really take it and just run with it. And they'll have some real piece of insight. Yeah, I want people to ask themselves this. And it's like, yeah, it's probably quite valuable, actually. And I can't think of an exact example at the moment, so I apologize for that.
Back about what I might have said when you asked me, and I can't remember.
nothing's coming to mind at the moment. But I mean, it is anything insightful, isn't it? It's like, you can do that. You said they're journal prompts. You can do anything in that question. What's the one question I should ask myself today? What's the one thing I want today? How could I make today awesome? All those are questions you can ask of yourself.
Yeah. One of the things that I really love about those, I call them powerful questions, because I'm sure you know this as well, is that our brain likes to solve problems. Mm. So when you ask an open-ended question like that to yourself, your brain goes searching for answers that it would not give you otherwise.
I mean, the questions I have trouble with, and I struggle with them even now, is like, what would be joyful for you at this moment? What is a good time for you? And those are quite difficult questions to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because many people's description of like having a good time often involves copious amounts of alcohol.
Mm.
And while that is a good time, or perceived to be a good time, I do wonder if it's actually checking out, not actually checking in.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, because once you've consumed copious amounts of alcohol, there's not a lot you're going to remember about it.
No, and it kind of gives you an out to kind of be an ass if you want.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it, that one? It's like, what does it mean to have a good time? And for me, I tell you what, for me, having a good time means, for me, it's cooking a nice meal for friends and sitting around a table and having meaningful conversations.
Mm, yep, that, sign me up. Invite me to Scotland. I'll come join you at your table.
You're welcome. Yeah, that to me is, that's a good night. And yes, there may be copious amounts of alcohol, but it's done in such a way that no one gets raucously drunk and everyone's just enjoying themselves, enjoying a company.
That sounds wonderful. Throw a bonfire in there and I'm a happy girl.
Oh, right. Around a fire. You're the fire goer. You're the one.
Oh, I'm the fire girl. All right.
I can see it. Yes. It's behind your picture.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It all comes together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one, isn't it? That there's that idyllic idea of sitting on a beach with a fire on the beach with friends and someone playing a guitar. Those are the ideal ones, aren't they? Those are the scenes in films that everyone wants to be in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely my idea of a good time. So long as there's good conversation going on as well.
Yes, that's a good conversation. What is the one film scene you'd like to be in?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't even know.
We're thinking of journal prompts now, aren't we?
Yeah. You know what instantly came to mind for me was The Notebook. There's this amazing scene in The Notebook, and I would love to be in that.
You have to tell me the scene because I've not seen The Notebook.
Oh, what? You haven't seen The Notebook? Okay. Well, I'm a big sap, so I'll watch that one whenever I'm having a moment. I just want to have a good cry. But there's this beautiful scene where the main character, well, the two main characters, the love interests and whatnot, they go into a canoe and they go on this beautiful little canoe ride, and they are surrounded by, I think they're like swans or something. And it's just beautiful. And then of course they come back and it starts to rain. But it's just a really cool scene. So that would be my idea of probably the scene that I would like to be in a movie. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Not sure I actually can think of any scenes in movies. I've not seen a lot of movies recently, so I can't think of anything that's really that. No, I mean, I think we're down to the beach scene with the fire, actually, and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be something like that, but coming up. So the final question I always ask people moving us on is this meaning of life thing. And that is always fascinating, because it's like, you know, I'm a parent, and my son is now at the stage where he's moving out, and it's like, okay, job done. And if you'd have asked me, like, you know, I know it's not job done totally, but
yeah, because mine's been gone for about 5 years. Trust me, it's not done. No,
I know it's not job done, but day to day job is done, isn't it? That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, we're no longer doing the arse wiping and the feeding, are we really anymore? So, maybe we are at some point, but you never know. But you know, that's most of that job is done. So now it's time to do something else. But if you'd have asked me like 10 years ago what the purpose of life was, my purpose of life was him. But I recognize it was never him. It was always something else. It's just that's the excuse I put on the table. And that's a society thing again. Society gives us reasons for these things. That it's family. That's the important stuff. But it probably isn't. My viewpoint on this kind of wanes and changes and moves with each guest, I think, because every guest says something, and every guest kind of gives me, oh, that's an idea. I've not thought of that one before. But the general thing, the most common thing, it's about expressing love and helping others. Those are the things that seem to come up a lot.
Are you typically interviewing entrepreneurs or not so much?
I do a lot of entrepreneurs, but then I've interviewed athletes. I've interviewed, last week's podcast was a musician who blew me away, a Russian guy, blew me away.
The violinist, right?
Yes. I mean, he's just so expressive. And he's like, his view is that helping other people get what they want. That was his view of life.
Yeah, I'm just curious. The reason I asked the question is because I find that people who have discovered their own passion. So, and I use that, you know, as entrepreneurs, I just kind of put those two into one bucket. Yeah. But I find that they are the ones who, once they've found their passion, it's almost always about now helping other people succeed at something or helping other people follow their passion, as opposed to people who haven't got that same entrepreneurial spirit. I find they don't have that same answer.
I suspect actually it's anybody who has found their passion will want to share it, want other people to experience the same thing. I think if you're stuck in your own stuff, you don't actually have that kind of sense of it. I mentioned people that spend their life watching Netflix and, you know, hoping it'll get better. They haven't decided what life's for. On a bigger picture, and a bigger, scarier picture for me, is that I think humanity's got to decide what it is for. And this is serious stuff in some ways, because, you know, the world is, you know, we've all agreed that there is, the climate is changing, and we're doing damage to this planet by the sheer numbers of us and how we're consuming it. But at the moment, our only model, our only idea of the way to live on this planet is to consume stuff. Our only idea of what success looks like is to grow bigger and do more. Well, there's a physical limit to the size of this planet.
Yeah, I agree. I saw a picture, I think you posted, of, was it a chip bag or something that was found in the dirt from 1987, and it hadn't even begun to disintegrate, do anything. It was still dirty, but other than that, it was just sitting there. Yes. And that's what we're continuing to just put out into our world, right?
Yeah. So the meaning of life cannot be more profit or shareholder value. It has to be something else. And I think that's what humanity has to find. I mean, you know, we need to find something like a shared purpose, something that everybody can sign up to. I know it's difficult. I know this is not going to be easy. If it was easy, it would be done. But the point is, we're not moving together as a whole. We're not we don't see ourselves as one people, one race, or you know, one planet. We see ourselves as individual countries and individual people.
And well, I know even this, even in the same country, you've got you against me. Never mind trying to bring the world together.
Well, precisely, and I think those are that's the stuff that's got to be sorted, really. And I don't know how that'll be sorted. I mean, I think if we don't sort it, the planet will sort it for us ultimately.
Oh, I think it is. I think it's already sending us messages that we're ignoring.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it probably is. And we know that, really. So, yeah. So, but the meaning of life, defining what the meaning of life is for you, I think, is the first point. Once you actually have defined it for yourself, and then you can help other people, support other people, or I guess if you're a narcissist, you won't define it that way.
Oh, you'll find some way to spin it so that you benefit, but it looks like you're helping somebody else.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I am. That's the five questions, really. And I think people that have answers to those five questions tend to be living life, living a life they enjoy, or living a life that's fulfilled. That's the most important one. It's like they're on a journey, they're rediscovering stuff, and they're never going to be 100% happy, because you can't be. There has to be a light and dark in this. There has to be ups and downs. But they will have a journey, and they will enjoy the journey.
No, I like what you said about that. There has to be those up and downs. And I think one of the things that I always joke about is like, if I get a cold or something, and then when you have a cold, you kind of feel like shit for a little while. And then you come back to where you were before. You're like, oh my goodness, I feel so good. Like it's like we need that comparison to be able to recognize how great we are when things are good, because we take it for granted and we forget. So having those little
downs. Let's play a thought experiment. So we're now living in a perfect world. It's a perfect world, absolutely perfect. So you get up on your day, you get up when you want to, you do what you want to for the day. You walk outside and you find some money on the floor. So there's, oh, it's nice, I found some money on the floor. And then you go out and see friends, and you decide to go and play a sport together. So you go and play a game of golf together. So you both get on the course, you tee up and you whack the ball, and it goes straight into the hole first time. So you wander there, and throughout the entire course, you hit 18 single holes in one go. So you've done the whole golf course in about half an hour, and you go to the bar. Can you see what I mean? If you live the day like that, where there was no opposition, there was nothing to push against, where everything you did was successful, you know, you might do it for one day. What a fantastic day that was.
I might try it twice just for fun.
Now do it every day and think to yourself, my God, this is boring.
Exactly. Even as you were explaining it, knowing why you were explaining it, I already was thinking, oh yeah, that's no fun. Oh, I don't want to hit a hole in one every time.
You know, it's like I'm gonna start a business. Oh, it's successful. Look, money's pouring in. Wow, fantastic. I've got to do the same again tomorrow. Money's pouring, it's fantastic. So what do you do? That's the point, isn't it? There has to be resistance.
Well, I love a challenge. Okay, just to be really quick about this, is like I literally yesterday was my last day at a job, and I'm starting a new job. Because I need a challenge. Like I'd gotten to where it was too easy. It was boring. It wasn't fun. They're paying me a lot of money, but I can't just sit there and be bored. So here I am going and forcing myself into a new position to go learn something new, into who knows what's coming. But I did it because that's what I need. That's what drives me to actually feel like there's something to look forward to in a day.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I run. I mean, I like the opposition of it. So I don't always enjoy running. I enjoy it when I'm running, but getting out to run sometimes is very difficult. I'll do anything to avoid going for a run, but I will go. But it might take me 45 minutes to convince myself to go out the door.
Yeah, I love it. I'm similar with exercise too. I love it when I'm out there. I love it when I'm done, but getting myself out the door is the struggle. So I know this about myself now. So I've created accountability partners because I know that if I'm going to meet somebody else, that I'm going to show up.
Yeah, accountability is fantastic for that.
Yeah.
But the most important thing for me about it is that it is a push. I'm pushing against something for myself. And that's what I think is really valuable. Yeah.
So when you tie up those shoes and you leave the door, there's your win right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also it's like, okay, so can I do this today? Can I push myself harder? Can I achieve a little bit more? And that's that's me pushing my success model. You know, the success is going out the door, I agree. But also the success is, can I be a little bit better than yesterday, personally? Mm,
Yep. No, I get that. I love it. Not going to convince me to run, but I get it.
Yeah, well, there you go. Next time.
Come awesome.
To Scotland. Come to Scotland. I'll take you out for a run.
Okay, I'll ride my bike beside you while you run. How's that? Come on, Paul. Let's go. Run faster. Oh, awesome. Okay, so where can people find your podcast?
They can find it at lifepassionandbusiness.com.
Beautiful. That's it. Awesome. Well, I'm going to go back and listen. Like, I saw that you had just published that one about the violinist. And so I'm definitely going to go back and listen.
Oh, he's glorious. He's glorious. Yeah. He's someone that has such vision, and he has the capacity to explain everything in such imagery. He's so worth listening. And he's a Russian guy. I mean, you know, he's making his first violin with the wood on his lap using tools made out of a nail file.
What? Wow. Okay.
Because there are no tools in Russia.
Awesome. Okay, I'm definitely gonna go back and listen to that one then. That sounds amazing. Paul, thank you so much. It was wonderful, and I loved that we flipped the script, right? That you got to be the guest and got to enjoy the other side of the mic for a change.
Thank you. I think the most important thing I want to leave everybody with is that just answer the five questions for yourself. Literally, just do it. Because a life without some kind of introspection, if you don't look at this stuff and work with it, then you're destined to be disappointed. But when someone is in alignment with everything they believe and knows where they're moving, then life just gets so exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to put all five of the questions into the show notes so that people can grab them and use them as journal prompts and do that exploration for themselves.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I enjoyed it very much. And maybe I'll have to have you come back on again and we can go a little deeper into some of the some of the answers maybe that people have given you. And we can just talk a little bit about those. I think that would be great.
I think it would be actually an interesting exploration. I think I'll do some preparation for that for you. That would be quite fun to do, I think.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Anyways, thanks again. It was great. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, me too. Bye.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.